Good afternoon, Southern California. I am John Browner. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Lawhead, here on the Mightier 1090 as we continue something called Browner and Lawhead, your favorite show Monday through Wednesday between the hours of 6 and 7, operating on AM radio in Southern California. We are part of the Great Friends Sports Network, where you can always hear us via podcast in the Apple Podcast Store and on YouTube under Kaplan and Crew. So those numbers are doing great. So keep that up. We really appreciate it. Our show is a show based completely on fun. We don't have enough time to dive into statistics. We take the best fun that can be had in sports and we do it. Or sometimes, like yesterday, we tackle actual conversations, like with what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock at the Grammys. But today, that's not what we're doing. I'm super upset about something that in regards to the NFL summer meetings, getting ready for the draft. And I'm going to get into that. But before I do that, Jason, what's up, brother?
What up, man? Just, enjoying another day in Southern California.
Rain last night.
Did you get rain where you're at?
It rained last night and everybody almost died. It was like apocalypse again.
That was like real rain, though. I mean, when we get rain in San Diego, it's usually like sprinkler rain, you know?
Right, two or three minutes.
Chicago. I'm from Ohio. That's where like real raindrops hit you in the face and like can like knock your eye out. But like, we got pretty close to like that kind of torrential last. I mean, at least I was surprised to see it coming hard and fast and at like angles like it never really does here, man.
One of the things that I always can tell whether it was a good rain is what happens in Mission Valley, because for whatever reason, it was built incorrectly between Fashion Valley and this kind of like back road to the 8. Yeah. And that street floods every time there's a decent rain. And that street last night was so flooded, you couldn't do anything. Like, you couldn't even get near it. So that's how you know it's a good rain in this part of town. And last night it was a good rain. So shout out to the rain. Whatever keeps us out of the drought. That's all I care about. No more droughts. No more fires. If that's what it takes, then rain. Come on. Come down. Rain down on me. I got to be honest with y'all today, man. I got to be honest with y'all straight up. I'm a little annoyed. Actually, I'm slightly pissed. Because when we are trying to, as a society, make things better, we are also, in the same breath, trying to make things more inclusive. Just because we make an attempt to make things more inclusive, that doesn't mean that we will. And when things don't become more inclusive, after attempting to make them more inclusive, it gets an entire section of people upset. What the hell am I talking about? The NFL at their meetings, because this is a sports show, the NFL at their meetings made some amendments to a couple of their rules. One being the overtime rule for playoff teams, which I will absolutely tear to shreds. Most importantly, they made an alteration to the Rooney Rule. For those of you who don't know, the Rooney Rule was made by the Rooney family, Art Rooney, owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was the first organization to hire an African-American coach. That rule came into existence because African-American coaches were not getting a fair shake at head coaching jobs, which at the time seemed like the right thing to do. It seemed like a fair approach to trying to get more black coaches hired, because if you have 75 to 80% of the players being African-American, they're smart enough to play the game, but somehow magically not smart enough to coach it. That flew in the face of everything we understand about how the sport works. The amendment to the rule now, because it appeared to not be working, was to add women to the rule. So let me get this straight.
I'm sorry.
You want to force an organization to hire black men as coaches, and they still don't do that. And so you get a bunch of people in an uproar, black and white people going, hey, man, there are a million qualified guys. Why aren't they getting these jobs? Why are guys we never heard of who've been defensive coordinators for 1 year getting a job at the Chargers? Who I'm not picking on the Chargers, because before that they hired a black coach who had never been a head coach before. But they hire because things are cheap. The Steelers have traditionally been great with their hires, so there's no bone to pick with them. But there are situations in the NFL where you have to look at them and go, what's going on over there? On the same token, you're now going to create another problem, because you are going to force teams to interview women who have had and here's a trick, open positions for offensive coaches. Not head coaches, just offensive coaches, which makes me sick to my stomach because at this point now, you're narrowing down what they can be hired as if a woman couldn't be a head coach of an NFL team, which is a massively different discussion. But the idea that now you're going to say, oh, you have to interview a woman and you have to interview a black person for these positions. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Because you don't do that with ownership. The Broncos are up for sale. I have not heard one damn single owner come out and say, we have to make sure we give a black ownership group an opportunity to buy a real opportunity to buy the Denver Broncos because they didn't with the Carolina Panthers. So, hey, like, this is stupid. This is really stupid. This is going to blow back on them in their face because, again, you're trying to shoehorn people into places where they may not be wanted. And these become token interviews. You're going to interview a woman and John Elway is going to show up drunk again. You're going to interview a woman and they're not going to pay any attention to her or give her the time of day. They're going to be demeaning and then that's going to turn into another thing. So it's just dumb, dude. It's really dumb and it's really heavy-handed by trying to fix a problem that you need a Band-Aid with a surgery. This doesn't make any sense.
It's more disrespectful. It's more disrespectful to the black coaching candidate. How long did it take till the Rooney Rule? When was the Rooney Rule implemented? How long did it take for the Rooney Rule to be implemented to whereas the black coaching candidate even got that type of right to know that at least there's a Rooney Rule, even as vanilla or fake as it may be. At least there's a step here. We've made this step to at least try to gain.
2003.
Okay. So the black man has basically built the NFL. I mean, the league is what it is based off of what the black athlete has brought to the game for the viewer. Okay. Let's not be stupid.
It is what it okay? is. Yeah.
It, let's not be stupid. What did you say? 70-80% of the league is.
Yes.
Are black African-American. Athletes, African-American. I'm not being offensive when I say a black man, right? I mean, you know,
no,
black
you're
man,
fine.
Black
you're
man,
fine.
Right?
You're
know,
fine.
African-American. I didn't know, you know, whatever. I'm a black guy is a black guy, right. Whatever. But it's what I'm saying is.
It's best to ask.
What I'm saying is it's more disrespectful to the black man to enter women into this discussion in 2022 than it is even to have to wait as long as they did to 2003 to become a Rooney Rule. I mean, look how long. I mean, we're talking about Jim Brown and that era of the 60s, basically, and going forward, the black athlete changed the game, grew the game, made it exciting for the viewer to ever want to keep watching the game and make it better and better and better, right? Hard enough, the quarterback position was out of their hands for so long, and the coaching positions were out of their hands for so long, and it took all this. Hey, we're talking about people, no matter what color they are, that spent a lifetime in this game, playing it, being around it, coaching it, whatever it is. And I'm sorry, but there will never be a woman that is a football lifer. There will never be a woman. I'm sorry that this is just one of the way. It's almost, I'm not even angry as much as I'm almost just, wait, what? Now, there's a difference between inclusion. I believe in inclusion across the board. But when inclusion becomes intrusion for the simple fact to just make something seem right, I mean, this is all it is. It's a seam right. This seems like it should be right.
Space saving move.
It's a what it is, it's totally disrespectful to the life, to the football life for the guy. Like, so Blackman had to wait till 2003. A whole population of men that built this game, that played this game, that made the game so popular to watch. They penetrated the game to a 70 to 80% mark. And they had to wait till 2003 for a rule for them to even be legally included. Yet women who have never even stepped on a football field, right? In the, at least in the pro arena, or even at the big time college level, other than maybe a nice, you know, story of a kicker making it at Liberty University or some stuff like that, right? Like, and then in 2022, they're included into the Rooney rule. I mean, not even 20 years. I mean, the black man hasn't even had 20 years at this after being disallowed for 50.
The annoyance I have with this, and I know people are going to start saying, oh, a woman can't be a football lifer. No, they can't.
No, they can't. I'm sorry. They can't.
Show me a woman that is a high school football player that went on to be a college football player. They don't, there haven't been one. And in all honesty, unfortunately for women, because the way that our country is structured, there will not be one most likely in my lifetime. And that has nothing to do with me, because if you can play, they should put you out there. But I'm not the bonehead coach in high school who's like, oh, girls can't play football. I'm not him. That's who's stopping you.
No,
not
exactly.
Me. Him.
No.
Him. If you can, if you can throw a softball at 50 miles an hour, you can probably play quarterback. Can't throw it underhand. You have to figure that out. But there's a bonehead coach who would go, nope, not doing it. Not doing it. So be mad at them. Be mad at them. Because I know that's what's going to happen. We're going to get a lot of messages go, well, you guys are getting, no, we're not. No, we're not. I'm in favor of any person that can compete, competing. And that's the problem with this rule.
The point is, at the end of the day, I mean, let's just all, can't we just, isn't there just some rational, logical honesty that can be examined in certain situations to go like, no woman, there's not a woman that is going to hold down a 48-man roster locker room in the NFL. I mean, if you think...
It's just not smart.
Let's be honest. If you logically think that there is any chance that there is one woman on this earth that could hold down the whole, all of it. I mean, all of it, all the things you got to deal. Urban Meyer can't even deal with it. I mean, Urban Meyer can't even deal with this. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on, man. Like,
I hope the NFL, and again, I don't want them to rescind the rule, because women got hired in coaching jobs and in positions without them, without it being a rule. And then people say, well, it's the same thing for black. No, it's not the same thing. It is not the same struggle. It is not the same hill that has to be climbed. I think if you're going to force them to interview women, you shouldn't put a cap on what they can be interviewed for, which is just stupid.
That's the other thing. It's like, now you're just playing. That's where it's intrusion. It's just intrusion. It's for the simple fact.
Yes.
It's just for the simple fact. It's like, I'm sorry. But guess what? This is a man's sport. I mean, can a woman be in the front office? Can the woman help? I'll be a trainer. Yeah, of course.
Those are different. But those are when you say that, let me say this, because
I mean, this is, you're talking about the contribution to the game,
They're two sides of football. The upstairs side can be done by anyone, because it's not a physical, it's not a physical contest. It's a thinking contest. This idea, I've never been the person that subscribes to a woman can do anything a man can do. I've just never been that guy. I don't think that's a real thing. And I think we should really stop saying that, because in all honesty, if you're looking at the physical dimensions of football players, a woman cannot be as physical size wise, speed wise,
it's not possible.
As a Jadeveon Clowney, as an Aaron Donald, it doesn't exist because even at that size of a woman, a man at that size is just stronger. This is not something I made up. This is not some sexist that I believe in. It's physics.
You could get the best six female volleyball players in the world against the six best male volleyball players in the world, and it's going to be a bloodbath.
It's going to be ugly.
It's going to be a bloodbath. You could get the six best or however many are on a soccer field, women in the world, against the other however many men in the best in the world, and it's going to be a bloodbath. It's simple arithmetic. I mean, let's stop with the nonsense. There will never be a more qualified woman candidate to coach a football team than the next most qualified man to do it. It just won't happen. Are there unqualified men being hired over other unqualified men? Of course. Yes. That happens all the time, which is why you need the Rooney Rule and why, sadly, you had to implement it. But will there ever be the most qualified woman ever? More qualified than the next most qualified man? No, not in football. Not in football. In business, on Wall Street, yes.
Absolutely.
Jeopardy, yes. Contestants, absolutely. Whatever. Yes, yes, yes. As great as Serena Williams is, she's not beating Djokovic. She's never beating Djokovic.
And that's about it, as even as you can get.
And she's the greatest female athlete that's ever walked the earth.
Ever, ever, ever. And that's as even as it can get. Tennis is as even
Brittany
as it
Griner
can get.
Isn't gonna play in the NBA ever.
It's hard for people to have these conversations because they go, oh, well, you're being sexist. No, man.
Of course.
We're just being honest.
No, exactly.
And if you take this honesty as sexism, then go try it. Go try it. Get somebody. Find a young lady who's skilled enough to do it and didn't do it. Because you know why it hasn't happened yet? Because there hasn't been one. It hasn't been one. About 6 years ago, there were people saying, oh, Diana Taurasi is going to try to play in the NBA. And I was like, that's a bad idea. Like, the WNBA was created for a reason. Title IX was created for a reason. Yes, Little League kids, they're girls on Little League football teams all the time. They mix Little League baseball teams with boys and girls all the time.
Because girls mature faster. And up until about the age of 14 or 15 or 16 even maybe, yes, there are some very few percentage of girls that can hang and beat the boys at that age because they mature faster. But guess what? We are talking about men and women in a sport. And I'm just going to tell you, like, there will never be a woman head coach in the NFL.
See, but that's why I disagree. I think it will. I think it will. Because the perception of now that you can hire them, why hasn't somebody hired one?
Well, that will be what they will be beating down the yes. doors on. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And they'll someone will be forced to do it. Whether they want to or not, they'll put up a good face and they'll say, oh yeah, this is a fair opportunity. But I can guarantee you that's the next door that's going to be banged on. Well, why can't they be hired for head coaches?
It reminds me of the line from Meet the Fockers. What's the name of that movie?
What was the original name of that movie?
Was it
Meet the Parents?
Meet the Parents. I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Yeah, with De Niro.
Can you milk me? I mean, there's just some things men can't do either. I can't give birth. I can't.
Right.
Like, let me just say, there's just certain things.
Nor am I lining up for that, by the way.
Can a woman put on the headset and can she know the game of football and be able to say, hey, run in this play? Yes, of course. I'm not saying that that isn't going to happen. What I'm saying is that there is not going to be, there is, it will never sell a locker room. It will never sell. I mean, are you kidding me? You're going to say, hey, let's go hire a woman. Maybe we can grab some free agent bass. You know, she better be a real hot woman that gives massages, or she is not going to be successful as a head football coach in the NFL.
That
sex is fine, but this is where it comes into, like, you know, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, like,
it is what it is. It is what it is, man. And I hate that people try to make what we're people are going to try to make what we're saying.
Sure, of course. I'll be, if somebody sees this, if a woman sees this, I got a sister who, if she sees this, she'll send me a nasty text.
But the fact of the matter is, if there was one, it would have been done by now. And the idea that the NFL is going to try to force this just really bothers me. And I think they're setting a precedent to just create more problems in the league that literally doesn't need any more problems. We don't need no more problems, but we'll be back to talk about some more problems when we come back. Brownie and Lawhead. Brownie and Lawhead returning on the Mightier 1090 ESPN. I'm pretty sure we will have a litany of voicemails on the Mightier1090.com, courtesy of Bill Hagan, sent to my phone today. And if we do, I'll play some of them for you tomorrow. We had a great discussion on what the NFL has now done to the Rooney Rule. We both disagree with it massively, and we didn't even get to the other changes that were made via the overtime rule because the first conversation was just so juicy and fun to have. Tomorrow, we're obviously going to do our NCAA Tournament Final Four breakdowns, but today we're going to do a little bit of the NBA breakdown. If you like anything on the show, you can always head over to iTunes or over to YouTube to catch anything you missed under Kaplan and Crew, the sign right behind me, because I keep forgetting to switch it to our show. But that's the show you look up to find our show on iTunes Podcast and YouTube as you listen to us here in your car on the Mightier 1090 ESPN. I'm joined by, as always, my co-host Jason Lawhead, who I hope has cooled down up until now.
Well, I'm just fired up at – it's not – about my view about women, okay? It just is this small notion of this specific thing that just is like, really? Like,
yeah. So one of the other things that people are really, I mean, again, we talked about this yesterday, that if you're a Laker fan, you don't feel too good today. You don't feel too good with what's going on with the Lakers in general. And so we don't really get into the knee-deep version of basketball like we like to, because there's been so many other topics spinning, and we're a three-day-a-week show at 1 hour, so we really don't have a chance to kind of dive deep into some of the things that we like to. And we're both huge basketball guys, and we love talking basketball. And in this particular situation, this has now risen to the forefront of, I have a question to ask Jason, and I have a question to ask you as a listener. If you're in your car right now, and the Lakers don't make the play-in, not the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Lakers don't make the play-in because now they're only a half game ahead of the Spurs,
who own the tiebreaker, and they have five road playoff teams they're playing.
And LeBron and AD are quite possibly out until Friday. And I think they've got a game tonight, and I think they have another game Thursday, or quite possibly their next game is Friday, where they're not sure either of those guys will play.
They're at the Mavericks tonight, who are as hot as any team in the West in the second half of the season.
Right.
So they're at the Mavericks tonight. They're at Utah on Thursday, who they actually match up well against when they've got bodies, right?
Right.
Home to New Orleans, who they just squandered a 20-point lead to. Home to Denver, who's playing for seed positioning. Mm-hmm. At Phoenix. At Golden State. Home to OKC, and then end the season at Denver. They've got one team that isn't going to the playoffs, possibly. Well, New Orleans is in the play-in round, so you can say OKC is the only team in that list of, I mean, they would have got 8 games left? No.
Yeah. I thought it was 8. Was it 9?
7.
Oh my goodness.
No, 8. So they got 8 games left.
Okay.
6 against... 7 against playoff team, 6 against playoff teams, 1 against a team in the play-in.
Okay. So if they lose the 2 games that AD and LeBron don't play, they then fall a game and a half behind the Spurs. They would have to pretty much win almost every one of those games, because Again, I'm still a believer that if they get in the playoffs, everybody goes back to zero and things get reset. And as a matchup standpoint, the Suns matching up against the Lakers with a healthy Anthony Davis and the trash talk between Anthony Davis and Devin Booker, I would literally love to see that. Chris Paul hates Russell Westbrook and vice versa. I would love to see that. And so, but I don't think that's going to happen. Like, there are two things that could happen on the back end of this, because what a lot of people aren't talking about is that the Clippers and the Lakers are pretty much in the same position. So the Lakers, if the play-in started today, Minnesota would play the Clippers and New Orleans would play the Lakers. The winner of both games, the loser of the Minnesota Clipper game, play the winner of the New Orleans LA game. If that's the Lakers, and let's say just for the sake of conversation, the Timberwolves, and everybody's healthy for the Lakers aren't in any trouble. And so then you'd be looking at the Clippers, who, if you get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George back, I don't want to be the second seed. I don't want to. Who's the second? I don't want to be Memphis playing against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. No, thanks. I don't want that. I don't give a damn if Kawhi's been all year or not. I don't want him coming fresh legs against me. I'll pass. So you may be looking at the 1-8 matchup and the 2-7 matchup being the hardest games to start the playoff with. But back to our original point. If the Lakers don't find themselves in the playoffs, would this be the worst season in the history of the Los Angeles Lakers?
I would have to say yes. I mean, you got three guys making $40 million a year. You've got this future that you want a bubble title with, as much as that means, but you're playing off of this. Oh, these are the guys we got. We won a title. They couldn't go do anything the year after this, which is this year. They're even worse. And this is not in a year where you can sit there and go, wow, LeBron he was just out and wasn't himself all year. No, LeBron's himself. LeBron is 19-year LeBron. I mean, at least offensively is, look, he physically, offensively, like, he's still himself. He
leads the league in scoring. Enough said. Okay.
All right. Well, he leads the league in scoring. That's, it may not be the best LeBron we've ever seen, sure, but it's better than most players we've ever seen still.
The other 29 teams will take it over somebody who they got.
At any time. It doesn't matter if he's year 19. If this was year 13 and LeBron was having this kind of a year, every team would be like, take him. If this was year, no matter what, they'd be like, I'll take that season and add him to my team. Sure. I mean, he's still that much better than most of the other guys in the league, even when he's not the best LeBron or close to the best LeBron we've ever seen. I think it would be, I still think under the circumstances, where they're at, what they're buying for, what they're playing for, where New Orleans is at the time, up 23, up 20 at half. I think that's one of the worst losses in LA Laker history. Ooh. To lose that game the other night, under the circumstances, where they're at, what's on the line, how important every win is, how important, a team that's right there on your heels, and then you just let them not just beat you and come back from 23, you let them pass you in the standings. Now, look, San Antonio's got a way, way easier ride in the next 8 games. They got mm-hmm. Portland twice. They're going to play Dallas on the last game of the season. Who knows? Dallas might be like, we're good. We're just going to rest guys. We got our seed. We're fine. Golden State on the second to last game of the season. They might just be like, hey, we're just heading into the playoffs and we're just going to take what we got and be, try to get healthy. And they might take that night off. Two games against Portland. Memphis is their next game without Morant, even though Memphis wins games without Morant. But the thing is the Lakers got 5 on the road. San Antonio's got 5 at home. Mm. And 2 of those home games are Portland. They have Portland twice at home in a 4-day span, in a 3-day span.
I think if you're the Lakers, and this season of the Lakers always takes me back to the very first picture, not the first picture, but one of the first pictures from Media Day that they produced. They had a picture with Carmelo Anthony. I'm trying to remember these names correctly. Mm-hmm. They had a picture with Carmelo Anthony. It was Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, and Rajon.
Dwight Ryan. Howard, too, was in that.
I didn't say Dwight Howard?
No, he was in that picture as well.
So 6 guys.
And they were like, try beating this or something. Or
right. Try beating 6 Hall of Famers.
Yeah, good luck beating this roster or something. It was some like something very kind of snidey, cocky.
In addition to this, LeBron said in the summertime, keep that same energy, calling my roster old, calling all us over the hill. Keep that same energy. Man, that energy is alive and well, Mr. James. And I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. If the Lakers don't make the play-in, this would have been the greatest failure of any roster ever put together in NBA history. And I know people are saying, oh, it's hyperbole, blah, blah, blah.
No, it's not.
Injuries. No, it's not. Even when they were injured, Russell Westbrook is a Hall of Famer, and he played damn near every game. LeBron James was hurt here and there, but for the most part of the season, he's played 55 games, if I'm not mistaken.
They're below averaging 500 on every – Davis games, below 500. Every game Westbrook's played, below 500. Every game LeBron's played, they're below 500. All games they've played together, they're below 500. They're below 500 no matter what little ball you shake and combination you bring up. They're below 500.
So this idea that – This cannot be looked at in any way, shape, or form as a success for anyone on that roster. And I honestly believe that you will see a seismic shift in the Lakers organization if this team doesn't make the play-in. Because if they make the play-in, I believe that they will make the playoffs. And then that will kind of say, hey, then they can all look at each other and go, well, we did have injuries, and look how we figured out a way to get in and be competitive, blah, 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 blah.
There was a stat. Not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, when the Lakers still only had 9 road wins before they won on the road somewhere, and I think they won Cleveland was when they won their 10th road game or somewhere in that road trip. They had 9 road wins at one point. And at that same time, the Phoenix Suns, think about this. The Lakers had 9 road wins total, and at that time, the Phoenix Suns had won 8 straight on the road 2 different times in the season. The Suns had 8-game road winning streaks 2 separate times in a season that the Lakers won 9 total road games.
So with all that said, there's still a chance that, the Clippers can bring back Paul George and Kawhi Leonard for the playoffs, which would make it interesting. And you've also got Golden State trying to get their legs together with Steph Curry now being out. And I don't know what the hell is happening with James Wiseman. And so there's a lot. That's what they say. But the last report that I saw said he had a setback, and they don't plan on playing him. So he will be in uniform on the bench, but they won't put him in, which makes no sense to me.
Well, why take him a roster spot? You might as well just wait and see if he's at, if you get to the Western Conference Finals, if he's got time to heal by then. I mean, you know, he can still work out. I mean, in those first rounds, he can't be on the team, but you can always change your roster. Every round you get to pick a new roster.
Shuffle it back into that deck. I mean, but if we're looking at the Western Conference, there's a couple of teams who I'm looking at, but I'm going, you still don't have a chance. I like Dallas. They still don't have a chance. I don't know what the hell's wrong with Utah so far this season, but they don't have a chance. I love Jokic, but if Murray doesn't come back at least 80% of what he was, they don't have a chance. And again, Kawhi missing the entire year coming back and attempting to play. Let me not jump over Minnesota, because Carl Anthony Towns had a great year. Anthony Edwards has had some fun moments. They got no chance either. So this is, to me, this is really a 3-horse race. It's between Phoenix, Memphis, and Golden State. And I don't think Memphis really has a chance either, because I think they're just a try-hard team.
I don't know,
that works during the regular season. So you're buying Memphis stock as well?
As weak as that West is, I mean, I think Phoenix is the horse coming out of that.
Yeah,
I agree that they are on a mission. I think they feel like they should have won it. We talked it earlier in the season where you were kind of iffy on them. And I said, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I said, even with a guy or two down, they're hungry. And they still played hungry when their lineup has changed and CP3's been out. Like, look, I love that team because it doesn't matter if Booker gets 15 or 45, they can still score 110 around him, and they play really good defense. So they're always coming up with guys that are stepping up and getting and filling the box score for them. So I like them as a horse, but man, when you look at Memphis and you go, they're 18-2 without Morant. I think in a stronger West, I would agree that maybe their time isn't right now, but hey, we'll see.
In a really weird Eastern Conference, you have Miami, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Boston all within a game of first place with little under eight games to play for most of all those teams. You have the Bulls and the Raptors tied with 4.5 games. And then behind them, 7, 8, 9, and 10, you have Cleveland, Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Atlanta. Now, let's get one thing out of the way right now, immediately. No one thinks the Nets are going to miss the playoffs. So they're a championship threat. If I'm Brooklyn, I look up and I see Miami as the number one seed, I'm comfortable where I'm at in the eighth seed. I don't know if I really want to play Philadelphia right out, but I wouldn't be upset if I did, because we've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving now available for home games. So the Eastern Conference has a lot more upper intrigue to it and not less lower intrigue to it. But I honestly think that there are four teams in the Eastern Conference that could wind up in the NBA championship. And I think these are legit contenders, because I think once Miami gets their attitude issues under their belt, I think they can show up in the championship. I don't know if they would win it, but they would show up. We know Philly can get there because they have Joel Embiid and James Harden. Doc Rivers may be the weakest link of all that.
I knew you were gonna have something to say about Doc.
Milwaukee already won it last year.
Sure.
And I talked about Brooklyn, who I feel like they will be there. And so, because I don't believe Boston is. I love my Chicago Bulls, but they've got way too many cracks and flaws. I like Toronto, but they don't have a home run hitter. I love the Cleveland Cavaliers. I love what they've done. They're still Evan Mobley becoming that guy away.
He got hurt last night. We're gonna see how long he's out. Now he's out. Everybody's hurt. And I like the Cavs, but I in the same respect, even all things equal, health-wise, I put them in the same box as that Bulls and Raptors. They just don't have the home run hitter against what they're going up against. Yeah, right. They might knock one of those teams off if they had to in some type of scenario, but I think there's just too much other heavyweight going on. I think it's, obviously Milwaukee's comfortable in that spot with Giannis and being had done it before and coming to repeat. Mm-hmm. And you're right. If Durant's 100%, good luck with trying to take down Brooklyn. And if Doc doesn't screw things up, good luck trying to take down Philly. So I think those three, with Miami and Boston kind of right there, also depending on, the nature of the inner workings, and can they sustain themselves through a 7-game series against one of those opponents to be good enough to get to the finals? That's yet to come to see, but they've been very impressive all year long. I know Miami's going through that thing right now, but with Spoelstra and Riley at the top, you trust that they're going to be at least ready to go out and give teams everything they need on every night in a playoff run. Whereas I just think Chicago, Cleveland, Toronto just don't have enough to go through the whole thing. Maybe knock somebody off in the first round that you go, oh, wow. But I just don't see them winning enough rounds to get to the finals. Whereas those other three teams, for sure. And maybe Boston. We'll see if they're for real.
No.
I mean, they're playing great, but we'll see if they're playoff for real.
And they just lost Robert Williams with it.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, Robert Williams is a big thing of what they do defensively, and he takes a lot. He allows Tatum and Brown to really get aggressive and physical on the perimeter end. Mm-hmm. And so I think teams can exploit that, especially in a 7-game playoff series. You saw
as
Phoenix.
As great as Tatum and Brown have been, it is always the unsung guy that really makes that thing go, because he will do the dirty work. Al Horford can't do that work anymore. Mm-mm. Robert Williams was doing that work at a comeback, not a comeback, but a most improved player of the year level. And for him to now be out, I don't know at this late of a season they can put patchwork in to cover what he was doing, because they just lack height.
Right, and you have to have good length. You have to have length in the East if you're going to take down Milwaukee, Brooklyn, or the Sixers. You have to have some length and some
or the
some
Nets
depth. That's why I said Brooklyn. Yeah, I said Brooklyn. Milwaukee, and that's what at the end of the day, that's what Phoenix ran into. Probably overall, they were the better roster going into that finals last year, but Ayton didn't have enough. There wasn't enough length around him. And as the series wore on, that wore on Ayton, it wore on their game plan. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee was able to just finally just punch enough holes into that. And you're right. I don't think Boston without Williams, that is just the key ingredient to them having any chance to beat one of those long teams in a deep series.
So there's a lot on the table in the Eastern Conference. There's a lot happening within the standings that we're coming down to this last couple of weeks of the season. And the Eastern Conference from 1 to 4, we don't really know how it's going to shake out, similar to where we don't know how it's going to shake out between 6, 7, and 8 in the Western Conference. But this is all going to be entertaining. It's all going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes in the NBA, at the end of the season, you're like, hey, let's just get this thing over with. Let's get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Rarely you get a situation where you have 4 teams vying for the number one seed on one side, and you have such large names looming in the background in the 9, 8, 10 section. So I think this is gonna be an interesting run down to the end. People say that they hate the play-in. They hate the play-in. They hate that the NBA did this play-in thing. They don't like it. It's been fruitful.
I like it.
It's been fruitful because the Lakers have been involved in it in some way, shape, or form since its inception.
Yeah.
So it works. It works. The question
and it keeps the standings jockeying until the last day of the season. It keeps those last – and it keeps you – you know, if you were a – back in the day, if you were a 5 or a 6, you could kind of put the cruise control on and go, well, right, if we slip to 7, big deal because – or 6 or 7. If we slip to that, big deal, whatever, we were going to be a road team anyway. I like maybe our match.
Right.
But now it's like, well, no, we got to hang on to that 5 or 6. We're hanging on to that just like 9 and 10 is trying to hang on to 9 and 10. So I love it. But I'm calling it now. Lakers missed the play-in.
Wow. Wow.
Spurs will be the 10 seed.
Oof. Ugh.
They're playing better basketball. They got a better schedule. It's more favorable. They don't have injuries at key spots like the Lakers do going down the stretch. And I think those 2 games against Portland at home and that last 2 games against Golden State and Dallas are going to be advantageous to them. And I just don't see the Lakers getting it done 5 games on the road, 6 against playoff teams. No.
I just believe LeBron James is so great. At some point, he has to figure it out. He has to. It'll be too bad for his legacy if he doesn't make the play-in, not the playoffs. You're saying he's going to miss the play-in.
Play-in. No.
I just think that would be tragic for his career and his legacy. But we'll find out tomorrow because we got more of this on Brown and Law here. Mightier 1090 ESPN. Peace.
Peace.